Fun? Thank you, JoJo.
You're welcome.
John chapter 1, and we are going to read together verses 1 through 5 and 10 through 14. I invite you to stand, and we'll read together in unison out of respect and honor for the Lord's Word. Let us begin together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And then verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Please be seated. If I say to you the word terrorize or the word terrorist, that word conjures up all kinds of thoughts, all kinds of pictures, all kinds of feelings. That word terrorist, terrorism, is a powerful word. Human words are powerful. Human words can communicate. They can motivate. They can activate. They can initiate. Human words can relegate. Human words can infuriate. And human words can bloviate. Human words are powerful. And when we look here at the Scripture, John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, uses this word, word, with a capital W, that is in the Scripture. And he's using this to convey and to communicate the most powerful truth about the one who came, the advent of Jesus Christ. What was John communicating? What was John conveying? Let's look at it together. As we are in this Advent time, commonly become known as Christmas time, but I use the word Advent because it really is a more proper and a more biblical term. We understand from this passage of Scripture that the true meaning of Advent, the true meaning of Christmas, is this, that Jesus Christ, the Word, put on flesh, and He revealed God's grace and truth to us so that we could become and live as His sons and daughters. That's what the writer tells us here. We think of Christmas. And by the way, just so you know, if you didn't know, then this will be news to you. Christmas is the invention of the institutional church. I hope I didn't burst your bubble. And most of the kids are out there in the preparing for the play, practicing the play. But Christmas is the invention of the institutional church. The birth of Jesus Christ was not celebrated as such until A.D. 336. And who did that start under? It started under the Emperor Constantine, who became a Christian and began to Christianize all the people and the troops, and basically the church became institutionalized under him. And it was just a few years later that Pope Julius I declared that the birth of Jesus Christ would be celebrated on December 25th, which It is well known that that is the Roman holiday of the winter solstice. Basically, they were trying to Christianize a pagan holiday. And Christmas basically has become another pagan holiday. The one redeeming factor in the name Christmas is that you can't take Christ's name out of Christmas. Christmas means the mass or the celebration of Christ. But think with me for just a second what Christmas has become. I don't know about you, but before we celebrated Thanksgiving with Brenda's family down in Virginia, we began to see ads for Christmas bargains and Christmas sales. And I was like, what? This is ridiculous. It's not even Thanksgiving. We have Black Friday and then Black Monday and Black Tuesday. And I mean, it's just, they're all. And think about that for a second. Why do they call it black? It's insane. But we have all these cultural traditions that have come to be, and they just keep pulling them back further and further and further. Christmas sales are going to begin, in the summer. Pretty soon it will be beginning in the summer before Halloween, which is another pagan holiday. I mean, just our culture is so corrupt, and when you try to Christianize things, then they turn into something that God never intended them to be. I believe Christmas has really become something that God never intended it to be. I thought when somebody celebrated a birthday that you were supposed to give gifts to them. How is it that we buy gifts for ourselves and our loved ones? I mean, yeah. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not a Scrooge. Well, some of you might think I am. After the sermon, you might. I'm not against gift giving, I don't think you should go into debt to give gifts. We've had some people over the past few days that have come in for benevolence help that are spending their money on gifts that they can't afford for people they don't like with money they don't have. So if you go into debt buying Christmas gifts, that is definitely out of God's will. You shouldn't go into debt. The scripture tells us you shouldn't go into debt, and especially for something as frivolous as Christmas. Oh, Pastor, you're such a Scrooge. I'm really not. I've bought a few Christmas gifts that I'll share in honor, of celebrating Jesus' birthday. But as I've gotten older and I've just watched the culture around, it's almost sickening to me. I don't want to be drawn into the commercialization of Christmas. And, all the stores that have been visiting, going in and out of most of the, grocery store haven't gone in there for Christmas shopping. And, people are saying, well, happy holidays. So we've lost Christmas on top of that. Just on and on and on it goes. What's my point? The point is that Christmas is not about what this culture has made it to be, and it's not about even what you have made it to be. Some of y'all are sitting here, and you know already that you have been sucked into and drawn into a culture of Christmas that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. I mean, it's just that simple, and we have to be honest about this. Most of our traditions have very little to do with the celebration of Jesus Christ's birth. And so we understand that, rather than get sucked into the culturalization, the commercialization of Christmas, we are to focus on the real meaning, focus on the advent of Jesus Christ into this world. So let's unpack this together. Number one, as we look at this passage of Scripture which talks about the advent of Jesus Christ, it tells us, number one, that Jesus Christ, the Word, is the communicator, the revealer of the heart and the mind of God. This is what Advent is all about. We light these candles in honor of His advent, His coming. His birth is but one minor detail in the true bigger story of his life. He came from the cradle and he went to the cross and he now wears a crown. He's coming back again, not this time as a babe in the manger, not sweet baby Jesus laying in the manger, oh no, but rather he's coming back as the conquering king. And Jesus Christ is the Word, the communicator, the revealer of the heart and mind of God. We're told here in this beginning of John's Gospel that in the beginning was the Word. Jesus Christ is the Word, and we learn from this that from the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is God. We read this passage of Scripture, and we have to ask ourselves from the beginning of what? Beginning of everything. Before the beginning of everything. Jesus Christ was from before the beginning of time, as we understand it, before all things. We're told here that Jesus Christ, the Word, verse 3, through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. All things have been created through Jesus Christ, the Word. And we're told before all things were, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. For those of you who may not know, Jehovah's Witnesses, if they ever come knocking at your door, hi, we're from the Watchtower. We're from Jehovah's Witnesses. We'd like to give you some of our information. You know what you need to do? No, thank you. Don't even open the door. Tell them, no, thank you. I know what you stand for. I know your beliefs. I'm not interested. I'm a true Christian believer in Jesus Christ, the true Word of God. See, because they actually change in their Bible. They change this phrase. In their Bible, if you were to read it, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Small g. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is God, co-equal with God, fully God, human man. They actually teach a very perverted doctrine that Jesus Christ is a created being, and they call Him God with a small g. It's a very bizarre religion. And so, just encourage you, especially if you haven't really studied and understand what their teachings are, just say, no thank you. I remember a few years ago, I actually intercepted a couple of ladies who were Jehovah's Witnesses. They were coming up to the Cinchy's door. I don't know if they even know what had happened, and I'm probably maybe telling you this at this point, but these two ladies were coming up their driveway, and I was out in my yard working, and I saw them coming, and I knew what was happening, so I was like, whoop, right over, intercepted. And I said, hi, can I help you? I really had no right to. It was their yard and their driveway. But I guess my pastoral instinct was kicking in. And, of course, they were all nice and syrupy. And, oh, we've come to talk to the Cinchies. We're from, Jehovah's Witnesses. And I said, I know who you are. And they said, oh, well, who are you? I said, I'm their pastor. Oh, they go to your church. I said, yes, they do. I said, and I understand what you're teaching and what, I wasn't rude, but I was firm. And I said, I understand what you're teaching and what Jehovah's Witnesses stand for. And we're not interested in what you have to say. And the Cinchies aren't interested. So I spoke for you guys. And I'm not charging you for that either or anything, you know. Protection. And they kind of sheepishly looked at me and for a moment, and then they kind of turned around and exited stage left. You know, there's a lot of people that have a lot of ideas and teachings about who Jesus Christ is. And here's the thing. Every cult that has ever existed, every false religion, always messes with Jesus. They always mess with Jesus. Because it's all about Jesus, because He is the Word who was with God from the beginning, and He was God and is God. We're told here that He is before all things, and all things were created through Him. Jesus Christ, who spoke the words of truth, is the Word, capital W, the communicator and the revealer of the truth of God, the heart and the mind of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, the triune Godhead, are one. We're told that in Scripture. Deuteronomy 6:4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one God. And you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Here's the interesting thing about that word. It is the Hebrew word Elohim, which is the common name used for God. But interestingly, the word Elohim actually has a plural ending on it. Elohim, any word in Hebrew that has the I am, it's our transliteration, on the end of it is a plural word. And so the word for God that the Israelites used was a plural word. And God revealed himself, the reason that he is understood in a plural sense, if you want to call it that, is because he is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And here's the point when I bring up the word who was with God and who was God. It's this. For the first time ever, the Son, God the Son, would leave this perfect divine relationship. He would put on flesh and come to earth for the first time. The Son would leave this perfect divine relationship of perfect love, perfect understanding and communication in the Godhead, and he would leave and come to earth to live among men. Jesus makes this clear. John chapter 16, verse 28. Roger Weiss will read that for us.
I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father.
Read it one more time, Rob.
I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father.
Now, what do we get from his words here? Either Jesus Christ is three things. Either he is a liar, that he's saying something that's not true, or he's a lunatic, that he thinks, you know, he's the Messiah and, you know, he's got the Messiah complex, you know, and he thinks he came from God and went back to, he's going back to God. So he's either a liar or a lunatic, or he is Lord. He is the one who came from the Father and is returning back to the Father. This is Jesus' words. This is Jesus' testimony. Don't let anyone ever say to you, oh, Jesus never claimed to be God. Jesus never claimed to be anything more than a good teacher. That's a lie. That's foolishness. That's falsehood. And if you don't know the word, then you'll buy into it. Jesus didn't claim just to be a good teacher. God did not send his Son just to teach us something new. No. He came to fulfill the scriptures of the coming Messiah. Now, if I say to you, I came from New Jersey, and I'm going back to New Jersey, what would you say that says about me? Oh, I hear a lot of crazy things going on here. What exit off the turnpike? That's basically always the question. The real question is, now I understand, the real statement is, now I understand why he loves pizza. Northern New Jersey is just dotted with true New York pizza everywhere. But if I say to you, I came from New Jersey, I'm telling you where my origins are from. And Jesus is telling us, I came from the Father. And then he states, I'm going back to the Father. Well, why did John use this word, word with a capital W? Why did he use this? The word here in the Greek language is the word logos. Watch this. You still with me? Say amen.
Amen.
It is that which is spoken of or conceived of in the mind. We use that word in a human sense. It means that which is spoken of or conceived of in the mind. So Jesus Christ, when he's called the Word, he is the essential creative Word of God. God was communicating, expressing himself in the person of his Son. There has been, through the millennia, critics of the Bible that say, well, John is borrowing this word from the Greeks, the word logos. He's borrowing this word from the Greeks. He borrowed the term from the Greek philosopher Plato. And that is not true. But because The word logos was used by Plato. The charge is made that, you know, he used this term. And Plato spoke of the logos as the rational principle of the universe that governs all things. In other words, Plato was teaching that, you know, he believed there was a rational principle that governed the universe. But the problem with that is that he's expressing something that is impersonal. The force. The force be with you. He's teaching Star Wars theology. How many of you went and saw that crazy new movie, Star Wars? How many? Okay, there's a few people. And I heard of one small group of people that waited 8 hours outside the mall for the doors to open so they could be first in line. 8 hours! That's insane. I don't think any of you ever waited 8 hours to get into church. Hear Pastor Tom preach. Y'all won't even wait a half hour. What are you talking about? So John uses his word logos, but here's the thing. Jewish scholars throughout the millennia had already begun to use this word, understanding that somehow God had a creative nature that not only governed, but created this universe. They used the Hebrew word dabar to refer to God and His creative nature speaking forth, a personal concept, not an impersonal force. In Psalm 33:6, it says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens created." In Psalm 107, verse 20, it says, "The Lord sent forth His word, and He healed them, His people." Psalm 119, verse 89, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet, and Your word, O Lord, is eternal." One of their own philosophers criticized those who claimed that you know, Plato was bringing up something new, making up something new. No, he wasn't making up something new. Numenius said to him about Plato, said, "What is Plato? He is simply Moses speaking Greek." He knew as an educated man that Moses and the writers of Scripture had already begun to use this word, to express something about God, His creative nature, His creative force and sustaining force in the universe. And so John uses this term. He doesn't borrow it from the Greek. He uses it. He has to write in the Greek language for most of the people were reading common Greek at that time. But John's words using here are a further revelation that God was already revealing through the prophets that His people understood. See, if you don't dig deep and understand the background of things, then somebody might say to you, and I've heard Bible scholars say this, "Well, John was referring to the logos, the rational principle that governs the universe." No, he's not. He's referring in the Old Testament to the usage of the word, which makes sense. John is a Hebrew. John is a Jewish scholar. He is a disciple of Christ who is Jewish. He is going to use the Old Testament, not Greek philosophy. So he uses the word to help us to understand that Jesus Christ is the revealer, the completer of God's truth. Number two, let's move along. God sent His Son, the Word, to become human flesh. This begins to blow our mind. The pre-existent Word, the Son of God, put on human flesh and lived among men. How is that possible? Well, He tells us, as we read just a few moments ago, it says, "We have beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten, the one and only, the one who is unique, who has no equal, the one is unique and kind, there is no other. He came from the Father and is full of grace and truth." This is why I've said to you so many times, it's all about Jesus. Because He is the one who is revealing the Father. When you look at Jesus, Jesus said these words. He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen what? The Father. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father," because He is the revealer of the Father. He's the one who is full of grace and truth. Now, you see, God had already revealed Himself as the Holy One and as the God who will judge. And we are to understand that and not dismiss that or separate that from the God the Father God who is revealed in the Gospels. It's another characteristic or attribute of God. You see, we were looking in the Sunday school class today, we were looking at the fact that God is going to return. It's in the Scripture, it's called the Day of the Lord. He's going to come back, not with grace and mercy, not with grace and love, but this time going to come back with judgment. Jesus Christ, the Word, will come back with judgment. And so, we are living in right now in the time of the revelation of what Jesus brought. What did He bring? Grace and truth. Aren't you glad for grace and truth? Aren't you glad that His grace found you and His grace found me? I don't know about you, but I don't want the judgment of the Lord upon me. I'll take His grace, thank you. I want His grace in my life. And we're familiar with that beautiful scripture that expresses why God sent His Son. Colby Garrett will read that from John 3:16.
That's true. Of the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Why did God send His Son? Why did God send the Word and the Word become flesh? Because God loves us, does not want us to perish, does not want us to perish in the sense of not believing and being separated from Him. And so God offers that beautiful gift of grace and truth that if we will put our faith in Christ, we will be saved. We will have the grace of God. Somehow, some incredible way, some incomprehensible way, God the Son was conceived by the Holy Spirit as a fully human baby. He was fully God, fully man, the God-man. The Word became flesh and came to live among us. This is the truth that makes Christmas, Advent, truly wonderful. This is the truth that we should be focused on at Christmas season rather than all the outward trappings. This is the truth that we should meditate upon. We should spend at least as much time on that as our Christmas lists, our wrapping of gifts, our trimming of the tree, our decorating. Otherwise, we are getting way out of balance on the commercialization of Christmas. What does John tell us about the Word? We'll go through this real quickly. We just saw it a moment ago. Before He put on the flesh, the Word was with God and existed as God. Verse 1. We're told through John that all that is not God was created through the Word, Jesus Christ. Verse 3. All things were created for Him and by Him. And then we're told, as we just read, the Word became flesh, and the Word is named Jesus Christ. We're told as well that the Word has life in Himself, and that life is the light of all people. This is the truth of Christmas. This is the truth of Advent. This is what it's all about. It's not about presents. It's not about trees. It's not about poinsettias. It's not about even a Christmas candlelight service. You know why we have these? Really, the whole purpose is to evangelize. For those that would come to a Christmas Eve service that may not necessarily come to a normal Christmas service or a normal church service. And we get the opportunity to share the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't have any problem with having some decorations and beautifying the sanctuary. It's fine. I don't have any problem with that. But let us not think that this is what it's all about. It's not about this. And if the candles burn low, so what? If a poinsettia dies, so what? If it smells like chili in here instead of holly berries, so what? We still have a lingering smell of chili from the men's chili cook-off here in the sanctuary. What's most important is we understand that God the Son came not only as a baby, but He came and gave His life, He died for our sins, and He was raised to life to provide the gift of salvation. Let us keep foremost in our minds, therefore, what is the great opportunity of this season? Have you thought about that? The great opportunity of this season is that many people are open to talking about God, talking about Jesus Christ, because it happens to be Christmas season, Advent season. You see, because number three, and we'll close with this, when we believe in Jesus Christ, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we're told here in the Word that we become children of God. You see, you can't live as a child of God. You can't live as a daughter or a son of God until you become a daughter or a son of God. And you don't do that by signing a card or joining a church or even getting baptized. No, you do that when you believe in Christ and you receive Him, and He gives you the right to become a son or a daughter. We read in verse 12, "Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave them the right to become children of God." Jesus Christ gives you the right to become a daughter or a son of God. And then He expects us to live as His son or His daughter. Through Christ and only through Christ, we become His children. This is the true meaning and celebration of Christmas. God's Son became flesh so that you and I could receive forgiveness and new life and know Him as a reality in our lives. One of the things that bothers me a lot about Christmas is that there's so much focus on the baby Jesus. You know, and we romanticize and, you know, we talk about, you know, sweet little baby Jesus who's lying in the manger. Isn't that beautiful? No, think about that for a second. It's a feeding trough. And He's in a stable with nasty, smelly animals. There's nothing romantic about it. It stunk. What's sad is the meanness of His birth. That He's born in a stable because there is no room for Him in the inn or the hotel of the day. As He starts His life, isn't that a picture of the world? There's no room for Him. We got to keep Jesus out of Christmas because Christmas is not about religion. Christmas is about a celebration of family. Spending time together for the holidays. That's what Christmas is about. Keep Jesus out of it. Don't have that nativity scene up. I think it was a town in the city of Chicago. The ACLU came against they sued the township that they were in because the township had a nativity scene on its property, on the courthouse property. And the ACLU won. They had to remove the nativity scene off the government property. You know what happened? Dozens and dozens of citizens immediately erected nativity scenes on their lawns. All over the city. It went on and on and on and on. And it was like a snub to the ACLU. It's like, you can try to take Christ out of Christmas, but not for us. We're keeping Christ in Christmas. Our culture today wants to pull Christ out of Christmas. We have to keep Him as the focus of this Advent season and know Him and live in the meaning of the true meaning in our lives. We'll close with this statement. Our Lord left the glory of heaven and came here in human flesh, not to adjust our personalities, not to help us reach human potential, not even to provide for social betterment. No. He came because we are morally depraved and hopelessly lost. And we must receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. This is the truth of Christmas. Have you received God's true Christmas gift? Have you received the one who brings grace and truth? Or are you just living in the commercialization and the culture of Christmas? Let's pray. Thank you for the beautiful reality that Jesus Christ put on flesh, was born into this world in a very mean situation. And He did it because He loved us. He put on flesh, He grew as a human, fully God, fully man, knowing that one day He would give His life. As we understand His mission, Lord, it's beyond us that He would do this. He would come and follow Your purpose, follow Your plan and Your will. We can't comprehend it, Lord. But in faith, we receive the grace and the mercy of Christ. If there's anyone here today and you have never opened your heart to Christ and hearing of what He has done, His advent, His coming in the flesh, you want to open your heart to Him, then we invite you and challenge you to do just that. Open your heart and ask Jesus Christ to come in. Lord, I want to know Your grace. I want to know Your truth. Is that you today? All the heads are bowed and the eyes are closed. If there's anyone that wants to ask Christ into their life, would you raise your hand and I'd like to pray for you. Anyone here that you have not received Christ into your life and you want to do that? Amen. 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 Let's all pray this together. God will hear your heart and He will come in and begin a reality of Jesus Christ in your life. Let's all pray this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for loving me and sending Your Son Jesus into this world in human flesh. I believe He is Your Son. He is the Christ. He came to bear my sins. He came to be raised from the dead and offer me eternal life. I turn away from my sins. I repent of my unbelief. And I invite You, Jesus Christ, into my life. And I will follow You for the rest of my days. In Your name, amen. 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 Let's stand as we receive the benediction this morning. And now may that grace, mercy, and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be upon us, the love of God our Heavenly Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of us. And the people of God said, amen. 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 God bless you all. First time folks, love to meet you in the lobby. If you want prayer for any reason, please come on up and our elders will pray over you.